CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. Yes. Wednesday morning, don't worry, Gord Laws will be joining us. And ironically, this will be the first time this year that we've got Gord on the show. He's been pretty busy, which is awesome. He says he's
been... A grand return.
Well, he says he's been working really hard, and that's great. I mean, listen, anyone who's working hard at the moment is working, and that's a good thing. I was saying to Sia at the start of the show this morning, I've never received so many CVs from people who are looking for work as I have in the last 2 months. It's been insane. Like people who are in all sorts of backgrounds, people who don't necessarily even want to, you know, do anything in media. They're just looking for work. So people who want to do your accounting for you, people who want to do, you know, your taxes for you, people who want to do PR and marketing for you, people who've got a background in sales and products and all that kind of thing. So it's just, there are a lot of really, really talented people floating around now looking for employment. It's kind of crazy, actually. And Sia was saying some of his friends are doing just about anything they can at the moment to make ends meet, including like selling, you know, meals, prepared meals that they'll drop off at your house. It just shows you, right?
Yeah.
Sure. It's crazy.
It is. And it is a great thing, yes, how people have been able to be so entrepreneurial and innovative, but the manner in which it happened, I guess, is not ideal. But people are just trying to make it work, and no one who I know is out to be the next Musk or Zuckerberg.
No, they're just like trying to make
can I break
meet?
Even yeah. Can I pay
I
pay my way through life right now,
you know. It's like we were joking not so long ago about these OnlyFans accounts that a whole lot of girls have started in South Africa, where they basically will show you their vaginas and their breasts just so that they can earn a couple of dollars, you know. And I haven't gone on OnlyFans, so I don't know for a fact that there are people in South Africa that are doing it. But I see lots of people joking about it, you know, joking, ha-ha, on social media, like, yeah, come and check out this. I'm telling you, there's a surefire way to make some cash. By the way, I'm sorry about the sniffles this morning, but I think I've got a cold.
Well, I also know some homosexuals.
Oh, you know some homosexuals who are doing this?
No. Homosexuals.
Oh, what is a homosexual?
It is someone who's going to fall in love with someone just to have
money.
A place to stay.
Oof, that's a homosexual. Wow, that's quite something. Sure.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, listen, if you're making...
Never knew, man.
No, I've never heard the term before. By the way, really, very sorry if I sound shitty this morning, but I've got this this head cold. I know it's not COVID, but it's knocked me out. Hello, Gordo.
Am I actually connected?
You are connected. How the hell are you, my
Is
friend?
It making sounds.
It's making the sounds. It's so nice to see you.
Oh, good. How are you guys?
We've missed you, dude.
The El Gordo returned.
I've bloody missed you guys as well. I haven't missed 6 a.m., but then I wake up on a Wednesday after 6 a.m., and then I miss you.
Well, it's really good to see you. What's been happening with you, Gordo? I was telling everybody how busy you've been, and we were saying how good that is at this particular juncture, because there's so many people who don't have work right now.
Well, I know there have been a few barbed comments about my absence, Gareth, and I took umbrage at some of them, but I wanted to come and have it out with you. In fact, I think we should have fisticuffs at dawn. it's been. Oh wait, dawn's happening now. Damn it!
Yeah, it's right now.
So it's been good.
Too late.
It's been good. I kind of like needed a good start to the year work-wise, and I've had one, so that's good. But I need like 4 to 6 more months of this before it even starts to look better from how crap last year was. And then I've just been, I don't know if I want to make an announcement or whatever, but this is the first time that I'll be announcing that the first kids book's coming out in like a couple of weeks, might be a month.
Oh. Yay. Good stuff.
Yeah, we've got to just put the covers on it and fine tune a couple of details and stuff. And surprisingly, it's the penguin story and not the internet story, because that one became a little bit harder for me to do artwork wise. So A Penguin Called Dave and How the Day Was Saved will be on sale probably in the next 3, maximum 6 weeks.
Well, I read.
I'm so proud of you.
Are you really crying because of me, or is something actually wrong? Because you legitimately are crying.
No, just some morning issues.
Okay, that's good.
Gord, I read your story to my parents during the holidays because we've got these, you know, I've got these two little nephews, they're grandchildren. And I said to them, what do you think of this? I didn't tell them who'd written it or anything. And I read them one of your stories, and then I read another one because they loved it so much. And
I was going to ask you which one it was, but more than one.
I read them, two of them, and we'll wait. I'm not going to, you know, I know I've got like an advanced copy here, so I didn't want to let too many people hear it. But my God, it's good. It's really, really good. I've said it before. It's
which one did you read? The Penguin one?
Henri Lemousse.
Oh, Henri Lemousse, yeah. The French mouse, for those people
and
listening.
I read the one about the tardigrade, which is just fantastic.
That one's probably my favorite, but I'm just excited. And it was quite an ambitious thing to try to release 5 kids' books at a time instead of just doing one. But as a result of this process being a year in now and taking probably 6 months longer than I wanted, I have not done a lot of stupid shit that I would have done had everything worked out according to schedule to start with. So releasing them one at a time, they'll be out on Amazon, Kindle Direct to Print, which is just basically buying books from Amazon. And we'll get a couple and give a few away to some of the awesome listeners. And hopefully then I can become wealthy and poo on everyone's desk that I've ever worked for. Most likely, I'll just have to continue working and make kids' books for fun.
But that's such good news. Very happy to hear it, dude.
I've been completely, like, news phobic. This was the case already when we last spoke, but I've kept it up.
Oh,
like,
wow.
I did find out what happened with the election, and I know that there's an impeachment going on. And those major, like, shift of global power events you can't help but be aware of. But I know fuck all about what's going on anywhere. So imagine I've been shipwrecked since we last spoke, and all that I know is on the way back from the airport what happened with the US elections. And now I'm like home, and you guys have to tell me what's happening.
Well, I have to tell you, you're not missing all that much. I mean, I actually think that it's really healthy to have a news diet. Because I mean, for example, I posted something on Instagram yesterday. I don't know if you've noticed that there's this huge snowstorm going through Central and Eastern America at the moment. In fact, it was even snowing in Texas. And Texas is usually a very warm place. They've had, you know, a blizzard basically in Texas. And in states like Kansas and Tennessee, where it's usually warm and, you know, you don't have to deal with levels of snow and ice and wind and rain that they've had. But what's interesting is that because a lot of those states are trying to move to green energy, they found themselves with huge energy shortages, because this is the problem with, you know, all the renewable energy people. And I'm not opposed to renewable energy. I like it. I think it's, as long as it's not these horrible, hideous windmills that you see all over the place. In the Eastern Cape, they've got a huge selection of them running up and down the coast, and they look disgusting. There's a road between PE and I think Plett. You know, it's along that kind of Himansdorp, Jeffreys Bay, that road that goes to the to the west of PE. And they've got these huge windmills, and they're very unsightly things. They spoil the natural beauty of the area. They do nothing to generate enormous amounts of energy. They certainly help to supplement. But these things are not particularly effective. They're very expensive to put up. As I understand it, they require materials, which are probably in the long run just as bad for the earth as pulling coal out of it. But I put up this thing, which yesterday I thought was quite interesting. A guy had tweeted, and I took a screenshot of his tweet, about a helicopter running on fossil fuel that was spraying a chemical made from fossil fuels onto a wind turbine made with fossil fuels during an ice storm. in order to get the wind turbine working, because in Texas they've had load shedding effectively, and not just in Texas, in other states as well that are more and more dependent on non-fossil fuel producers of energy. Anyway, no surprise that this was fact-checked, you know, and let me tell you something about fact-checkers. They are not fact-checkers. They are hacks who are paid for by left-wing organizations.
Someone with an agenda.
Yeah, who are trying to promote a certain agenda. And whenever I get these fact-checks, what it makes me want to do is actually keep spreading information, even if it's false. Because I just hate being, because they're correcting you. You know, it's like if someone corrects your language, then you start using worse language just to annoy them. It's childish.
They don't fact check it themselves. It's a take your word for it type of thing. So you go, I've heard of this concept in your article. I'm not even commenting on the wind thing. I mean, I believe that's sustainable energy. I like the wind. Gigantic blade argument is quite a like involved one.
Right.
So the oversimplification to sort of say, well, it's made of, and it's made, but it is, it's difficult to dispose of those blades. They do cause some level of environmental damage. They found that painting one of the three blades black helps a lot with the bird killing problem. I mean, first of all, a migratory pattern of birds has to be moving through a very, very limited range if it can't get around the wind farm.
Yeah.
Like it's not likely there's a species of bird that only flies through that one windmill. But there are a lot of problems with it. Infrastructurally building it takes a lot of fossil fuels and all that kind of thing. But all of the solutions have these drawbacks and stuff. But the problem with the states is that they're sort of a little bit like here. They haven't done maintenance. They already have a shortfall, and now they're trying to catch it up with new technologies that have limitations.
Well, I mean,
but the grid has to eventually move in the direction that it's moving with renewable sources.
I agree, and I myself want to get onto. I've said this a number of mornings in a row now, and I've got a bunch of quotes, and I'm now making the decision to move to solar so that I'm not dependent on Eskom and their fossil fuels. First of all, because I hate Eskom, but second of all, because I do think in the
Shabalala.
End. I do think
Eskom are the devil.
Yeah, they are the devil. I do think that in the end we're all going to have to move off of fossil fuels, and that solar is the best form of renewable energy. Of course, if you can create enough of it, if you can generate enough of it, you can live off the grid. But you have 2 weeks of inclement weather, which is what we had, for 3 weeks. With all the rain that we've been having.
Oh, it was gloriously inclement.
I loved it. Yeah, but you can't generate electricity during that time. So with the best of intentions, you know, you're stuck. So my point is that when you send these fact checkers, and it's always about political issues. So it's always about like the elections in America where there was a lot of fact checking going on, fact checking, and it's not fact checking. Please be assured that the organizations that are doing the fact-checking are not reputable organizations. They are funded by nonsense people, and they are there to drive a certain agenda and to push people towards posting certain things and not posting others. But when you do that to me, when you correct me like that, or you say this is being fact-checked because it's not true, and you don't give me any significant information that proves that either it is completely untrue or that you're not just proffering a political point of view, then I get annoyed. Then I want to behave like a brat and just keep
also,
doing stuff.
The headline basically becomes a meme, right? So the word meme in terms of like a little image that you share on your phone is quite interesting. I wrote a thing on it once because a meme being called a meme in the context that we use it is an example of a meme. So the best way to describe memetics is a meme is described as a unit of culture before it meant a picture on your phone. So the best way to describe it is when you start a new varsity and you're one of the cool kids, there's a hip handshake with a clappity clap and a flickety flick and a thing.
Right.
You never get sat down and said, welcome to the cool group.
Right.
This is our handshake. You need to learn it because we all know it and use it. You just osmose that knowledge. Right. You start saying sweet when you hang around the gym a lot. You don't decide to do it. Like these little bits of culture that you absorb are units of culture. And so really the headline of an article, when you don't read the article and you just want the takeaway, from it is a meme. It's a tiny unit of information with no context. So essentially saying, oh, well, screw you, I know I'm right. Here's an article and you've only read the headline. You're really sharing a meme. And when you rebuttal with someone else's research that's debunking it, but you haven't read it or understood it, it's almost like saying, I can find this many headlines in my favor and throwing them at the fucking person. And then it's like, well, I've got rebuttals and other articles in my favor and throwing them at the other person. Neither of you ever argue the point.
It's almost like
talking about.
So it's almost like cultural.
Send me an article as a rebuttal. I'm like, did you read this? Which part of it was most interesting to you? Let's not talk about the point. Let's talk about which sentence in here you'd like to discuss, asshole.
Right. And it's cultural war. That's what it is. So anyway, I learned something interesting yesterday. If a service dog, you know, those service dogs, they often, you know, they've often got a little collar on, or they've got the little harness that they're a service dog that helps blind people or whatever. If a service dog approaches you.
Why would you get a dog to blind people? Firstly, you can do it on your own. You don't need any help. And secondly, that's a really cruel thing to teach a dog to do.
If a service dog approaches you and he is alone, it means that the owner can't move and is in trouble. Follow him and you will get a free wallet. You can ask me for more useful financial advice.
No.
Yes, it's some useful stuff.
And then you've got a free wallet and a dog that you could use to help blind people in the future.
Correct. It's very, very useful. Lots of people are very happy to see you. Gordo.
Let's not write that down.
Vicky
says, I can see some of the homies.
Vicky says, great to see you, Gord, Ruth, Carla, Mark, Chris, Linda, Tanya. They're all so excited to see you. See, you've been missing. Brandon. Plenty of people who are thrilled to see you. And then, Sia, someone says there's a spider on your light switch behind you.
Oh, my God, there is as well. It's massive. See how he was doing that? Oh, you guys are fucking with me, too.
I'm assuming that needed a bigger reaction.
Made you look. So there we go.
Thank you, but sorry, that failed epically.
I don't know. I saw that. I saw you whip your head a lot faster when I suddenly said.
No.
This is impossible to take a photo of yourself while you do this.
It is impossible. So, Gordo, what's been going down, man? Have you been, just besides work, anything fun for you to report on?
Well, I lost 60 kilos.
We haven't seen you since December.
Hang on a second. That's a very big deal. You lost 60 kilos because I could see in your face you're looking much more.
I am one of those people that can lose 60 kilos and only people are starting to notice now. I don't take offense though. I had 100 kilos to lose. So I got I still got about 40% of it still to do. But the fact that I've done it through Zen and actually just like being chilled is a whole new approach. Like I'm building a gym in my house now. I mentioned to you when we chatted, Gareth, I'm building a Cobra Kai themed dojo. It's the most exciting thing in the world. It's currently functional. I just haven't fully decorated it. And then there'll be a grand unveil. It's incredibly man-child of me, but I'm loving it. So
that's awesome.
I started training recently, but I've just been zenning it out and like restricting the times when I eat and then staying off the carbs and sugar, and he's leaving puddles of me behind me. So the second fastest I've ever lost weight was training 11 times a week, eating 5 carb and lean, like really strict diet meals a day, all pre-prepared and stuff, was about half as fast as this. And I only started exercising last week. So I'm stoked, man, but it's just taken a lot of discipline in terms of sticking to.
What's the secret this time?
Sticking to.
It just is
well, I mean, it's really like, not even a secret. I just got to a point where it was like I was the fattest I've ever been, and I was the usual approaches that I deal with it with, which is like brute aggression and like bloody mindedness, stubbornness, and exercise. And it's a slow grind. I mean, I was boxing 4 times a week a year and a half ago, and it took 8 months to lose half as much weight as I've done in 6. So really, I just limit the times I eat. I only eat 2 meals a day. I basically skip breakfast. I don't eat dinner after 7. So I have dinner at 7 and I skip breakfast, and then I just don't eat carbs and sugar. And like the thing is though, I don't drink. Well, as explained to you guys before, I'm not like a reformed flag waving teetotaler. I just generally don't drink, and I haven't for a year now. So that also really helps. You kind of need to not eat carbs at all. And that, not like that insane keto where you like just drinking blood and eating sand. It's like you eat vegetables and that kind of thing, but no carbs, no sugar, no alcohol, and then just chill right out. And let your body normalize its vibe. So I haven't been publicizing it much because, to be honest, I don't really want the attention. Everyone's like, you must be so proud. I'm like, I am, but I'm 60% the way through the comrades. Like, I'm on my sixth Oros lady out of 10 in the comrades. I'm just trying to kind of carry on tracking, but thank you for the enthusiasm. You must be very pleased with yourself. You may not dismiss this. I'm like, oh, I really wish I didn't post how much I like this t-shirt that I haven't been able to wear in a couple of years. Like, the post was about my cool shirt. But anyway, it's like, it's, you know what? I'm not trying to be a dick or anything. It's exactly like your birthday when you're over 20. It's each individual you genuinely appreciate, and each individual genuinely means well. But to have that discussion with everyone you know on the same day, I prefer to just keep it quiet. So when I've done another 40 and I'm shagging your family members and siblings and spouses, we'll talk about it.
Okay. I like it.
Wait, why does it have to get there?
Because that's the goal.
Just a quick
Everybody needs a deep motivator, and mine is lots of sex.
That's what yours is.
A quick thing to get to before we do the headlines this morning. We've got Mac G on the TV show this evening. Mac G was basically cancelled on social media. And this is happening to a lot of people. So Mac G was cancelled because he said something that was interpreted to be transphobic. He then tried to make things right by bringing a trans woman onto his show. And then everybody climbed into him even more because, you know, you can't apologize to the cancel mob. This is what they do. They cancel people. They're not really interested in your apology. They're not interested in rehabilitating you. They're not even interested in the issue that they're complaining about. Like, in this case, it's trans rights, or, you know, people treating trans people with respect or whatever. They don't care about that. They just want to see blood. And you can hear Mac G's point of view on the show this evening. It's the first and only interview he's done about it since he was canceled. And, he, I think, articulates the position very, very well. So don't miss the show on ENCA this evening. So What Now? 8:30, and that's on channel 403. Channel 403 on DSTV.
Yeah,
had to think about that for a second. The reason I bring it up is because I saw two other important cancellations over the course of the last 2 weeks in America. First one is Gina Carano. She is the woman who plays that character Cara Dune in
Cara Dune, in the Mandalorian.
That's right, in the Mandalorian, and she's superb. I mean, she's an ex MMA fighter who went into acting. She's one of my favorite characters on the Mandalorian. I love that show.
She was also going to be in the new spin-off show Rangers of the New Republic,
that's
which
right.
is like Ahsoka and the Book of Boba Fett. It's like part of this extended universe. She's not getting her own show, but she's part of the main character cast of that show as opposed to a secondary character on The Mandalorian. Hashtag was.
You can scratch that and say was, because she's been canceled. Why? Because she said, you know, she posted a thing about how during World War II, and leading up to World War II in Nazi Germany, people were reporting their neighbors for being Jewish or for being gypsies or whatever it was. And she was saying, look, this stuff doesn't start with the government clamping down on people. It starts with ordinary people clamping down on other people and forcing their point of view and doing things like fact checking things that are pure opinion. And she was saying, this is how it starts. And what did they do? They accused her of being anti-Semitic, believe it or not, for that. So Disney obviously disassociated from her. And Disney said, we are appalled by her abhorrent comments about Jews, which there was nothing abhorrent about Jews that she said. And there's no Jewish person in the world who was offended by the comparison. Meanwhile, just a few months before, the star of The Mandalorian, a guy called Pedro Pascal, had done exactly the same thing, comparing Republicans to Nazis, and nothing ever happened to him, showing you again that there's this huge double standard in Hollywood. So she's been fired from The Mandalorian. The other one who's been fired is the host of The Bachelor. Now, I don't watch The Bachelor, but Sia and Leanne do, and they might know something about this. But one of the contestants on The Bachelor apparently went to a party, an antebellum party. This means a pre-war in the South party where people dressed up like Scarlett O'Hara or, you know, Rhett Butler or whatever it was from Gone with the Wind. And she was wearing this big frilly pink dress. And apparently that even is now unacceptable, because if you go to a pre war in the South Party, that means you support slavery. I mean, we're really having to, there's just not enough racism. There's a huge demand and not enough supply at the moment. And people are having to dig into other people's pasts, and they found this picture of her in a Southern Belle dress, and they said, oh, well, she's definitely a racist. So they cancelled her. And here's the worst part, is the host of The Bachelor in an interview said, hey, how about we just give her some grace, let her explain herself. He actually said a number of times in that interview, I don't know what the correct course of action is here, but let's not jump to conclusions, because this seems like a stretch to call her a racist for all of this. Anyway, just for asking for her to not be cancelled, he was cancelled. So this is just getting out of control.
But you know what
part
of the problem is in this toxic, crazy cycle? When an apology is released, and I have no dog in this fight. So I don't know where people stand with this. But my assumption is...
You should get one, because Garrett's dog blinds people.
I get you, yes. But it is the people around the person who's in it who coax them, say, no, actually, you need to apologize. Because I read Chris, I think that's the Bachelor host's apology. Yeah, Chris. And I thought, no, these are not your words. This is not what you mean. Yeah. This is someone else who wrote it for you. This is your team, your management, who still want to go on and take 15 or 20% from you. And they're thinking for themselves.
And Sia, you know, even his girlfriend turned on him, the host of The Bachelor. His girlfriend even said, oh, she's so embarrassed by his racist car. Now, you have
How
to
can he be the host of The Bachelor if he's got a girl? The host is not the actual contestant. Oh, sorry, I'm working it out as I go.
You have to be a whole new kind of selfish and stupid to actually turn on your man and call him a racist when, first of all, he's done nothing racist. You know, these days you don't even have to.
Clearly, they were not really in love.
No, but this is the kind of person that she is. This culture is, in the words of Gad Saad, who's been a guest on this show and who's been on our TV show as well, this is a parasitic infection of ideas, bad ideas that rides on your neural network and causes you to say and do stupid things in order to stay with the woke culture when you don't even believe that stuff yourself. And
don't even use that term, because that's what Chris also apologized for.
What? For saying woke culture?
So this is his brief apology. By excusing historical racism, I defended it. I invoked the term woke police, which is unacceptable. I'm ashamed over how uninformed I was. Oh, I was God. So wrong. To the black community, to the black, indigenous, and people of culture community,
oh, Jesus,
I'm so sorry.
Imagine?
My words were harmful. He then added to say that he's been with The Bachelor since 2002, and after consulting with Warner Brothers and ABC, he will be stepping aside for a period of time.
Let me tell you something. The first thing you do is you do not, under any circumstances, apologize. Even if you're in the wrong, you just don't apologize to these people. They're not interested in hearing your apology.
There's an important subtext behind all of this. Like, I'll start by just saying, look, anyone losing their job because a mob of uninformed, uninvolved idiots demand it is tragic and on some level criminal, and really you should shoot yourself out of guilt instead of celebrating. But it's all in the public domain, right? So you, in the entertainment industry, it's Hollywood is very left-leaning, and they have contractual things saying that, like, your public voice and your profiles and your personal profile can basically needs to be managed, and you can be dismissed for how you behave outside of work. So it's almost in your work contract. Like, certain jobs are like, you post anything on Facebook that, like, it brings the company into disrepute, we can eliminate you. You have the option of not having Facebook, right? So there's that. The other thing is, all of it, all of showbiz, is people not really doing anything terribly important, going, public, what do you think? Public, what do you think? Public, what do you think? Do you like it? Public, please like it. And you can elevate people with no talent to global megastars, or ignore the most talented people because they don't have the right fucking political view or shaped face. So it's a feedback system between people really not adding much, except for the odd really good musician and great actor here and there. For the most part, people standing and going, do you like it? And a public going, I don't know. Jessica, do we like it? Do we like it? Oh, yes, I've been told we like it. We love it. Or, no, we hate it. We're going to ruin your life. It's like you're at the beauty pageant. You know the audience is holding things of tomatoes and confetti, and they decide what to throw.
Right.
So when being outside of the loop and having not heard of any of this, which doesn't make me superior, I'm listening to it going, how the fuck has anyone cared about any of this for the last however many weeks?
But it like,
who cares about this person, about the show, about the cancelers? No one's canceling people that really matter in my life because they're not asking the public for approval.
Let's go to a couple of headlines because this is also related to the first of these. Jacques Poe, you know the journalist Jacques Poe, he wrote that book which famously got us talking about state capture in a serious way.
The Prison's Keepers.
That's right.
I know him personally, a great guy.
Well, he's apologized for lying about the details of his arrest at a Cape Town restaurant. So here's what happened. He had to come out yesterday and apologize for lying in an article he wrote about police stealing money from him and being harassed by the men in blue. He was arrested earlier this month after refusing to cooperate with officers during an altercation. He wrote an angry column for the Daily Maverick, which was published last Friday. The column created the impression that either the restaurant management or the waiter that served me or the V&A waterfront made a call to the police to have me arrested. Turns out this did not happen. So he was very, very drunk by the sound of things. And he was very impolite. He was confronted by the police. That resulted in a subsequent arrest. He wrote that the officers stole R1,000 from him, which he now said is false. So it would appear that Jacques Poe has embarrassed himself here.
And it's all, you know, I don't know the story. And again, I know him personally, but I haven't heard anything about this. But it's really just the jewel got out of hand. And this is like
too out of hand.
This is the equivalent of like when you've really screwed up as a teenager and it's had booze was involved and you like basically problem. Just so, have to go, shit, I'm caught.
So he did all of that stuff, right? And this happened a while ago. And then instead of just hoping it would go away, which it probably would have, he decided to write an article about how terrible the police were. And that's
where the problem came
That's where the problem is, because now suddenly his private altercation and the issue with the restaurant manager and everything, which was apparently resolved and charges were dropped. But the fact that he decided, no, he had an axe to grind.
But you know, like I've got a taught by a great mentor of mine and dear friend, a man called Don Bryan, who is what I call taking an Abraham Lincoln day. Like when you're really pissed off with someone or something or some entity or brand, like what about your long angry opinion and who you're going to CC on it and the big Karen moments you're going to have. Now, bear in mind, I'm prone to these. So I'm not better than anybody.
You've done it before.
But what I do is try to take an Abraham Lincoln day, and that's leave the letter for a day. If you read it in a day and you still think every word of it's justified, then send it. It means you wrote a great letter yesterday. You've got no work to do.
Right.
But you might find you want to change it. And I have often taken out one of these like axe grinding moments only to find out soon after that it was a misunderstanding or not that big of a deal or actually wasn't that serious. So yeah, you just, when you're going to write that letter, especially if stuff in it's not true, just leave it for a day.
I'm so embarrassed for him that it reached this point. But on top of that, I want to invite him over for dinner.
Well, he's a fascinating man.
All of that knowledge, the tidbits that he has about people, can't really handle his liquor.
I'm worried. I think that this guy's had a very tough time. You know, there were death threats against him during that whole President's Keepers scenario. He's been a brave journalist for many years, and that unfortunately is all besmirched by the fact that he clearly has a drinking problem. Maybe it's his coping mechanism, but he says,
I mean, come on, it's just one incident.
Listen,
are we already calling it a problem?
It's a pretty big it's a big incident.
You see, it's like fake news will catch up with you, and I'm already my credibility as a journalist died the day that I told the Christopher Robbins story, and that wasn't even to do with to do with police. I mean, in the end, it's been a blessing, the failure of my dream to be a Nobel Prize winning investigative journalist. But And Carrie, look, any time I try to write any sort of
he says, I feel embarrassed by my conduct. In this era of fake news, propaganda, and a lack of accountability, I must publicly accept responsibility for my actions and apologize for them. It is the right thing to do. Now, that's smashing your own reputation down to the bottom of the ladder and having to start all over again. So I hope he's got a nice support structure. I hope he's got people who care about him and can help him rehabilitate his career and his reputation and hopefully get him off the source, because it sounds like he can't handle it.
Well, you know, it also sounds like there's a difference between sort of a journalist being shown to have made, to have printed and published non-factual stuff knowingly, and kind of cancel culture, where we go like, we've decided there's a way to interpret a tweet that we don't like, and now we don't actually need a reason because there's enough of us.
I think there's more of a responsibility on someone who is a journalist of his caliber, who's responsible for giving us facts. He's not just an ordinary member of the public or a part or a part of the entertainment superstructure. You know, he's just a person who commanded a lot of respect and authority and credibility before. So journalists, to go and write a story about it that you know is fake, makes people go,
well, that's just it. It's not a perfect analog for cancel culture, because, you know, like a journalist being found out to have falsely journalisted is always kind of something where the public might, the person's reputation and work might be affected. I hope he's okay. He's a lovely man.
All right.
And they have a lovely B&B type of thing out in the Karoo somewhere, and it's like beautiful food, and they're just very chilled people. Yeah.
All right.
Actually, maybe that's where I should go. We'll find him waving his shirt in the air.
Dude, you'll have an amazing time. They're very, very good at hospitality, food, and wine.
J&J vaccines, that's Johnson & Johnson vaccines, are to be distributed at 17 sites across South Africa today. You know, here we are. We're still waiting for people to get inoculated against this disease. The vaccinations are just not rolling out fast enough, but Johnson & Johnson apparently is the kind that we're using now. The Department of Health is geared up to roll out the first phase, and a lot of work has been done supposedly behind the scenes to prepare. Vaccination virtual training began in all provinces at the start of the year. So far, thousands of clinicians have registered to be vaccinated, while in the Western Cape, 888 have been trained. Registered nurses, doctors, as well as some medical nursing students form part of the team. These will be distributed to 17 vaccination sites across the country. They include the country's biggest hospital, Chris Hani Baragwanath, Steve Biko Academic, both in Gauteng, and the Nkosi Albert Luthuli Central Hospital in KwaZulu-Natal, Livingstone Hospital in the Eastern Cape, blah, blah, blah. So they're starting to distribute these. There we go. Julius Malema, who had a meeting just a couple of days ago with Jacob Zuma, surprise, surprise, they've got an agenda. Their agenda is, well, you tell me, because here it is. Malema to Ramaphosa. You are incompetent and a most unreliable human being.
God, have you missed this?
Yeah, so...
yes, I've entirely missed this, and I'm wrapped. I'm like catching up. It's that season catch-up. You know when you haven't seen, when it's a new season and they have the little recap of the previous one? I feel like I'm doing
what happened in season three?
Yeah, what happened in season three of Bullshit South Africa, the series?
So obviously what happened when Julius and Jacob got together for their tea in Gandla is they decided we're gonna trot out an old favorite. And guess what that old favorite is? Here it is. Economic freedom fighters Julius Malema has described Cyril Ramaphosa as incompetent and enthralled to the white capitalist establishment. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, when you are stuck and someone is about to go to jail for being irresponsible and not reporting to the Zondo Commission because there is an actual court order compelling you to come to the Zondo Commission, it must be white people's fault. It couldn't possibly have anything to do with your own criminal behavior. So let's blame the whites. This is such a tired old story. I don't think anyone buys it anymore, not even the people who are proffering it. So here in this case, the Democratic Alliance has referred to Ramaphosa as a nowhere man, but they didn't blame the white capitalist establishment. Parties on Tuesday are debating Ramaphosa's State of the Nation address. You are incompetent, incapacitated, and the most unreliable human being. That is what Julius Malema said on Tuesday afternoon. Many people, including the leadership of the EFF, hoped that you'd bring some degree of stability. It's now been 3 years since you took office, and all we can say is you've not achieved anything that's worth mentioning. Now, if he stopped there, I think he'd find a lot of people agreed with him, because in 3 years, Cyril Ramaphosa has done an absolute minimum of things. And we've discussed this ad infinitum on the Burning Platform, but instead they decide...
An absolute minimum of things. I really like that. I think that's going to be my new like agenda point for when I don't want to do anything. Today's agenda, minimum of things.
Do nothing with both hands. But the fact is that would have been a very good description of the Ramaphosa presidency up to now. Instead, he had to go on and make it about the whites. It's always the whites, the boogeyman in the cupboard that you are scared to get out of bed in case the monster attacks you from underneath the bed. It's just such childish nonsense. It's such a witch hunt. It's such an obvious cop-out to your own lack of responsibility. You know what? I mean, what have the EFF done in the last year? This year, they've done nothing except defend some woman against a, you know, who they don't even know in a Clicks commercial for being told that she had curly hair, which she did. What have they done? What's the EFF done?
That's last year.
It's last year. It's not even this year. But I'm talking about the last 12 months. They've done nothing in the last 12 months. The EFF have been paralyzed by COVID and have achieved zero things.
Is that a development because COVID has now got the ability to paralyze you? Or is that something that's metaphorical? Because I've been outside of the news. And if the whole EFF is paralyzed because of COVID, I want to know how and why.
It's definitely metaphorical.
And could it happen to you?
Yeah. How do you get... So I was also thinking like, again, I'm probably about to get canceled for making totally obvious humor of a serious situation. But since there's a shortage of vaccines and organizing to get them to places is a mission. They should deploy the country's ice cream trucks and you should hear the vaccine truck in your neighborhood and it's like do 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 outside and you run out and go, Vaccine man and if you can get it and then you'll see the like it won't be a kid, it'll be a middle aged dude, but he like ran out too late and the van's driving was like, oh, I missed it this time. Scott is like $100,000. That's how I will do it one day. I'll privatize vaccinations in ice cream trucks.
Guess who's in the news? The wife of North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. Yes, she's made her first public appearance in over a year. Ri Sol-joo is her name. She joined her husband at a concert on Tuesday to mark the birthday of Kim's late father, the former leader Kim Jong-il. Ms. Ri.
Isn't he Kim Jong-dead now that got a lot worse?
He was Kim Jong-il, now he's Kim Jong-dead. Yes, correct.
And his son should be surely Kim Jong-de instead of Kim Jong-un. I mean, how many Kim Jong-sons were there? Kim Jong-de is next in line, followed by Kim Jong-trace.
So this woman, who's the wife of Kim Jong-un, has often accompanied him to major events in the past, but had not been seen since January. And, you know, when someone doesn't get seen around him, they've probably been fired in a cannon or something, put in a rocket launcher and, you know, shot into outer space or who knows. So luckily she's still alive and very much happy, according to these pictures, smiling the whole time, sitting next to her husband, whose face is about three times as wide as hers. Very interesting.
Oh. I reckon they could finance a successful global war if they just sold the rights to the behind-the-scenes shit of their life as a reality show. They could even pre-censor it. None of the political secrets, none of the war room meetings, just the day-to-day shit.
Yeah.
Literally like Real Housewives, Real Dictators of North Korea, and... They could syndicate that show and translate it into every language, and it would be like Seinfeld. It would just eternally make fortunes, and then they could use that money to like thwart the evildoers or whatever their agenda is. Hate everyone who isn't them.
The BBC.
Because these disappearances are also very crazy. When someone hasn't been seen in months, you know,
they immediately assume they're dead.
Goes wild. Remember Jack Ma? I think it was towards the end of last year, people were like, it's been 3 months or 4 months since we've last seen him.
Where is he?
Yeah, he appeared, he first appeared like on some random Zoom call in the beginning of the year. And then he's been seen here and there. Turns out he was on some private island playing golf and doing sketches.
Oh, good.
That's just, he was living his best freaking life.
Good. Okay, well, that's a relief. I was worried about him.
I mean, yeah. It wasn't under house.
Does anybody even know at all this, the whole, even of the premise of the story of Chris D'Elia, American comedian? He got like canceled for some shit and then just went silent. And the thing is, he just hasn't said anything. And now it's been longer and longer and longer. And I kind of was wondering if it, that's like a cancellation I was curious about. But Chris D'Elia is not even properly famous. Never mind.
I don't know about him.
That's as much as I know about cancels. Yeah, he's a comedian. He hangs out with like Brendan Schaub and Theo Von and Joe Rogan and all those guys. He's got a really crap Netflix special. He kind of did some really funny sketches around Eminem that made, that I caught my attention. But anyway, okay. he's kind of, it's a small one, but it's the one that I know about. So I thought I'd throw it in the hat to have something to contribute.
No idea. This is totally foreign to me. Very strange.
Yeah.
The BBC are reporting that former President Donald Trump has finally come out of the quiet time that he's decided to have, and he launched a scathing personal attack on Republican Senator Mitch McConnell. He said, "Mitch is a dour, sullen, and unsmiling political hack. And if Republican senators are going to stay with him," Trump said, "they will not win again." Mr. McConnell, who's led the Senate for years, voted to acquit Mr. Trump in his impeachment trial last week, but he then attacked him as morally responsible for the Capitol riot because of the election fraud lies. In a speech to the Senate floor, he implied Mr. Trump should face criminal and civil litigation because he was still liable for everything he did while in office. So Trump responded with this, that basically this guy's he's an asshole. I don't like Mitch. I've never liked Mitch. But, I mean, the two of them were getting on famously while Trump was president.
And he almost sweethearted him there. He was always sweetheart. Yeah. Because he's like, he doesn't smile enough is essentially what his one main concern about him is. He's unsmiling. Like, oh, shit. We can't have that in a politician.
Yeah.
He's not a cheerful oak. Look at him just doing politics all day.
So, I mean, Trump's back. You just can't shut this guy up, despite the fact that they've taken away his Twitter and everything else. Apparently there was a pro-Trump, you know, Monday was President's Day in America. So there was some pro-Trump rally that Fox helped organize. It's all just really kind of, I'm over it. I'm really over it. You've missed nothing, Gordo. The craziness continues.
I mean, I watched some admittedly left-leaning sort of socio-political Stephen Colbert, that kind of thing, kind of because it's entertaining the spiel. I see it through the lens of like, well, we've been sent out to declare what happened on behalf of the winners. But that's kind of been a way of keeping up with politics that's entertaining, but I'm more in it for the monologues. But, you know, the Trump thing, it's like, in terms of impeachment, I would like to know, Gareth, the one-minute summary. Do we think there's a likelihood he'll actually go to jail, and how likely or unlikely is it?
He's not going to jail. He's already been acquitted.
See, I missed the acquittal thing. That must have been recent, last couple of days.
And Nancy Pelosi was fuming. She actually started shouting and screaming as she walked into the room the other day. And she, you know, with those false teeth that don't fit so well, she was like, "I'm so upset with these cowardly Republican senators. I'm so upset with them." She's really
this must
annoyed.
Have been like literally in the last day or two, because I'm out of touch, but I'm not that out of touch.
It's this week, so you haven't missed a lot.
Yeah, okay. Well, that makes sense. I'm usually a few days behind. But aside from being excited to see if he went to jail or not, I was like, well, he's lost. He's going away. The old guy that like was there at Keith Richards' bris is now in charge.
That man is
a thousand. You know how many elections he's lost? He lost to Noah. He was supposed to be the O that wrote. He was meant to be the boat captain, but he ended up just being like a secondary deck person.
Yeah.
So they've got a 1,000-year-old robot now instead of like a mutant Frito, Cheeto idiot. I don't know.
Well, you know how we talk about health on the show a lot, and today we're going to have Chris Avant-Smith and Dr. Mark Opperman, who are the co-hosts of a show that we've launched on Cliff Central. If you haven't heard it yet, it's called the Tea Health Show, which is brought to you by the Tea Clinic. And they talk about, you know, your testosterone levels, hair loss, depression and anxiety, tips on all kinds of things that men in particular are worried about when it comes to their health. So we're going to speak to these two dudes and find out what their show is about. They also talk aesthetics. They talk about how you can live longer and be healthier and look better. These are all things that men are thinking about all the time, even if they pretend they don't care about it. And we'll be talking to them at 7:30 this morning. Also, we'll check in with Sean Sanders and see what's happening in the world of cryptocurrency, which it's like this the whole time. It's just up and down every day, you know. And if you've been buying and selling cryptocurrency over the last while, you'll know it's a hell of a ride right now. People like Elon Musk messing with the price. Just by saying he's a big fan, it jumps to like $50,000 yesterday. It's just crazy. It's all happening. So we'll check in with Sean, and we'll check in with Chris and with Mark on the T Health Show in the next hour. Lots of good stuff to come.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes. Gord, a lot of people are asking about the vaccine. Are you going to get it if it comes to you?
I don't know what the priorities are in terms of which sort of people in which health groups are most in need of it first,
yeah,
or the best candidates for it. I'm a little bit less concerned about it at the current weight that I would have been 6 months ago. But I'll have to just take it under advice of my doctor whether it's good for me. I mean, not whether a vaccine in principle is good. I'll get vaccines for life tattooed on my chest.
Sure.
But I'll get it when it's available, and I'm not jumping the queue in front of anyone more vulnerable. And also my doctor says you're a good candidate for it. So yeah, in theory, I'll take it now if my doctor signs off on it.
And these days, are you still relatively indoors and keeping it that way?
Yeah, I've kind of adapted to permanent isolation and homeboundedness like everybody. I do have people around occasionally, but it's quite a close-knit circle of friends. And, you know, I go out if I have to and meet someone for a coffee. But I don't miss outside all that much. Like if I have to go out to the shops, especially if it's an involved, I did a shopping mall experience to go and get some stuff for my gym that I'm building, and it was absolute hell. I was like, I don't know how anyone, and this is like a one quarter full mall. I'm like, I don't know how anyone's ever done this. So yeah, I'm not like cabin fevering so much as I'm just used to it. And between dieting, training, doing what work there is, and trying to get these books published and avoiding the news,
do you find
it's a pretty mellow, laid back life? Actually,
you mentioned how you hated going to the shops. Is that because you've kind of become agoraphobic? You don't like being out in spaces with people, or do you think that you find the whole mask and a hand sanitizer regime annoying? Because for me, it's both.
No, I'm okay with the hand sanitizer thing. I just want to understand, because there have to be business owners listening to this that have made this decision, right? We have to, by law, get sanitizer for our premises. Cool. Let's get on that. Rad. Nigel's on that. Nige, what's the status on sanitizer? Right, guys, well, there's two kinds, it seems.
Well,
there's the refreshing spritzy alcohol kind, and then there's the Pritt stick mixed with sperm kind. Which one should we get?
Oh,
and they sit and they go, I don't know, let's get the Pritt and sperm. Oh, it's 11 cents per 1,000 liters cheaper, and we've got a 500 stores. Yeah, that'll save us $4,000 this year for the bottom line. Let's get the stuff everyone hates. So when I'm walking around with sperm glue on my hands, I hate it. But assuming it's liquid spritz, I'm good. The masks are a real problem for me because I've got even when I'm at my most slender, I struggle to find hats that fit my head. And when my head was the size was bigger, getting the ones that can stay on my ears, they only make them to size large.
Do the masks break?
No, they just don't stay on your ears. They come off and they also move up your face. But my face has gotten smaller, so that's better. But I promise you, when it's summer and you 100 kilograms overweight and you're standing in a queue and you can't breathe properly, and the person that's deliberately, like, I don't want to be, like, served, like, it's the most important thing. I don't expect extra car and attention, but when the person's got sweat pouring down their face and is sucking their masks into their mouth, deliberately slow down, deliberately slow down as a passive aggressive fuck you. So all of that sort of thing has gotten a lot easier. Being hot and in public. But the thing about malls, right, is that it's a hunter-gatherer thing. It goes down to evolution.
Absolutely.
This is not gender-specific. We now know that young male gatherers in tribal times just didn't come out to their parents because they'd be persecuted for it. But like hunting-gathering, it's you're one or the other, and then you've also got ambi-gatherers. But for the most part, you get a hunter or a gatherer. Now, a gatherer wants to go into a shop. Like my mother would force me to do it in Woolworths. I still don't like being in the linen department of Woolworths because the smell brings back trauma of being, oh, Gordon, look how lovely this frock is. Yeah. I'm not going to buy this. I'm going to go and try it on. Oh, look how lovely these plates I'm not going to buy are. Let's look at them for 10 minutes.
Yes, yes, yes.
And go and see if there's something in the store that catches your eye that maybe you then want to gather. I'm like, a certain type of toaster exists. Mm-hmm. I know it exists and I want it. I know that its natural habitat is a particular store. But when I have to go into a store and look and look and look for something that might not even be there.
Drives you crazy.
That is hell. Mm-hmm. Like, if you can just assure me that it's in the store, mm-hmm. then I'll carry on tearing it apart. But since the people working there, and also this is something I noticed in three stores in a row, there are more staff than people. And you still, staff are people. There are more staff than customers, and you still can't get helped.
Yeah.
And that drives me insane. So I'm looking for something they might not have. No one is helping me or understands what I'm talking about. Get it out on the website, get this thing, and they're like, I don't know. I hate that more than anything in the world. Like, I pay a lot extra.
Or they say, where it is. You know, South Africans also, in stores, people tend to be polite. It's like when you ask for directions at the garage, they want to help you. So they.
Yeah, saying I don't know is some sort of admission of defeat.
Right. So they just lie to you and they say, well, you go up here and you go there, and they give you the worst directions in the world. But they're trying to be helpful. So rather just say, I don't know. Yeah.
On the topic of being helpful and stuff is that I think it's like you have one job when you build a parking lot in a mall, and that's to indicate clearly from all places within that parking lot which way the exit is.
Yes.
Don't either have no exit signs or exit signs that if you follow them don't take you to an exit. You should be able to see an exit sign from anywhere in the parking lot and an indication of where the entrance to the shops is.
Yes.
And then Sandton City, right? So I haven't been there in years. So I go in. It used to be my old haunt when I was a teenager. So they've restructured it, but the basic skeleton's the same. I know where the one side, the other side. So I'm trying to find Mr. Price Sport. Arrive at Sandton City. First thing I notice, okay, I have my pedometer on my phone to tell me how much of a pedo I am. So my pedometer informed me that I walked 1.25 kilometers inside the mall to find Mr. Price Sport. Asked two different stores that sent me, not just slightly incorrectly, in the opposite direction instead of saying I don't know. There is no information sign. And here's a true fact. I did not see, and I was looking, for one single security person of any kind to ask questions for or to save my life if I have a heart attack in 1.25 odd kilometers of Sandton City. So please, no one commit any crimes. But if you are concerned about crime, know that there's no security in that whole shopping center at all.
Yeah. All right. Calm down, Gord.
So that was my rant about
your rant.
I'm sure we are getting an email from management.
Almost 1.5 kilometers. There's no information signs about where a shop is, and there's no people to ask or anyone to protect anyone.
All right. When we come back, we've got the T-Health show, guys. We can talk to them about the male health show that we've got now on cliffcentral.com, which if you haven't heard about it, you need to know. That's why we decided we'd need to get them on. Also, Sean Sanders, also Gord Laws, also CSI.
Cliffcentral.com.